Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, November 4th, 2022. And this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 39, the second paragraph, reading the last three sentences on that page, starting with Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic and ending the paragraph with self-knowledge would fix it. Today's readers are Carrie C. for the 12 steps, Davlin E. for the 12 traditions, Gail K. and Eileen M. will be readers, and Julie E. B. is our backup for today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, November 3rd is 19593. That's 19,593. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, November 4th is 19597. 19,597. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Carrie C. to please read those 12 steps.
Good morning, Carrie C. from San Francisco Bay Area. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carrie C. And I will now ask Davlin E. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. May I be heard?
Yes, you sound great.
Thank you. My name is Davlin E., and I am living joyfully and gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you very much, Davalyn E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 39, paragraph 2, beginning 3 lines up from the bottom of the page. And I will ask Gail Kay to please read and comment for us.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, this is Gail Kay. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Laguna Hills, California. And thank everyone for their service and welcome all newcomers. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. He was positive that this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober for the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. This, again, there's so much. This is, as our moderator said, a very jam-packed end of the paragraph. I always believed myself a compulsive overeater. Well, let's just say prior to coming into the OA rooms, I always identified with commercials on the TV that would say about Alcoholics Anonymous. I would say to myself, boy, I'm like that with food. So I knew I had a problem. And I was open to accepting the spiritual remedy. However, I thought that the spiritual remedy would give me control so that I could eat like other people. And so I misunderstood that when it was offered. I had my own fixed idea about what a spiritual remedy would be. And then I look over here where it talks about he was a long way from admitting he could do nothing about it himself. And I definitely relate to that. I was in and out of the rooms for many years, and I always thought that even the spiritual remedy, even the 12 steps, I thought that the end game was to get a thin body. I had that fixed idea. I did not understand that recovery was connected to sanity. I thought recovery was connected to getting a thin body. And I have found in recovery that sanity, when one is sane, one takes healthy actions in life. Also, this part about sober for the rest of his life, that was inconceivable to me. I didn't understand that at all. I thought it was something I had to do. I didn't understand that this was about getting a power that was going to do for me what I was never able to do and never will be able to do for myself, that this would be something that would be working in and through and for me, as opposed to Gail getting out and doing it harder, better, faster, more as a result of the things that OA was suggesting. So I'm just going to leave it with that. No one tried harder than me, but again, I didn't get this part that I could do nothing about it myself. I had to get a power greater than myself and the 12 steps and entire abstinence is the way to gain that. And I'm so grateful today. I have a little over 7 months of food neutrality, recovery beyond my wildest dreams. And it is my sense that if I continue to work these steps and practice these principles in all my affairs, that I will be able to be sober for the rest of my life until the day I die. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Gail Kay. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on the last three sentences on page 39 and the remainder of the chapter on page 40, please press star 1 to unmute and give us your name. Let us know where you're calling from.
Davalyn E.
Eileen M. and Roz G.
Tamara C.
Dolores P.
Anybody else? That's a great lineup. Okay, we have Davalyn E., Eileen M., Roz G., Tamara C., and Davalyn P. Okay, so please share with us, Davalyn E.
Good morning. This is Davalyn E. from Manitoba, Canada. I listened to the earlier meeting this morning and then reading this paragraph, hearing it read again, and thank you for the lead. I realized I wanted to share something. I came to this program. I heard about OA for the first time in my life 8 years ago. 9 years ago, a few days ago, the 9 years of hearing about the program, and I was the queen of self-knowledge. I contacted the literature person in Manitoba, and I bought every single book that was available, and I read every single one of those books, including the big book, which I already had from another program, before I went to my first meeting. Here comes the queen of self-knowledge. She knew about the 12 steps. She had read the big book cover to cover. She'd read all the OA books. I was there. I knew what I was doing. And this morning, and 8 years later, it will be 8 years in January since I started coming to OA in person, I'm the queen of uncountable relapses because I was Fred in every way. I could not admit to myself that I could not do this myself. I was willing to believe in a higher power, but I didn't need that higher power. I needed it for some things. I couldn't control life. I couldn't control death. I couldn't control all sorts of things, but not food. Food was about me. And this morning, someone shared on the early meeting how Fred, and the real Fred had a different name, and he had a story in the first edition of the big book. But his self-knowledge grabbed him again, and his self-will took over, and he started drinking again. So his story was taken out of the big book. And that's me. I have kept starting eating and eating and eating again because I thought self-knowledge could do it. I could not humble myself to admit that I am not special. I am just another bozo on the bus, one of the billions of us on this planet. No more special and no lesser than anyone else. So it felt really good to be reminded of that by the fact that this friend didn't get it. He kept drinking, and that is a warning to me. I am so grateful for this program, this Design for Living, these steps, and for all of you for listening. Thank you so very much for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Davelin E. Eileen M., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered in New Hampshire. And, this is such a great paragraph because this is not a self-help program. You know, it's not like we just, you know, come in, get the books and leave and do it on our own. And, you know, here's Fred. He's not out of ideas, as we like to say in vision. You know, powerlessness is out of ideas. You know, he hasn't hit bottom. He's not identifying with the problem. and I can relate to this. Wow, can I ever relate? Because I got into program thinking, well, you know, I'm only 5 pounds overweight. No big deal. I'm not that bad. So I don't fit in here. You know, here's another place I don't fit in. And, you know, I just always thought I could fix it. I had one more idea that I, you know, wanted to try out. And as long as I was not going to admit powerlessness, I couldn't get better. You know, I love, you know, what was shared about recovery is not getting into a thin body. Yeah, love that. It's about sanity, because that's the second step. Believe that a higher power can restore me to sanity. You know, and here's Fred. I mean, Fred cannot make the admission of hopelessness. You know, that is, he's part of the problem, right? Because he, you know, he just thinks, okay, yeah, I can do this. Even after he gets the description of alcoholism, you know, he has to go out and suffer a little bit more until he gets it. And, you know, as long as I'm relying on myself and think I have the solution to my problems, I'm not turning my life over, because that's what turning my life over is. It's no more self-reliance, you know, and that's what we do here. That's why we're here, is we're seeking a power that will solve all our problems. And, you know, it's interesting how it says that Fred was a long way from admitting this. You know, he definitely wasn't desperate. So anyway, thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much, Eileen. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Tamara C.
Good morning, Elaine, and everybody in Overeaters Anonymous here on the line. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, which is in Los Angeles County. And I'm just, you know, I want to share, you know, a couple of humiliating experiences that I had, which are mine. You know, it's not a can you top this, it's just mine, you know. I taught in a reading tutoring program in a boy's jail years ago. And we were in the office, and this one lady said, we were talking about body sizes, and she says, yeah, well, all of us are fat. I was included in the us. And that was really humiliating to me, because I didn't like to be included in a group of being fat. And I remember, I had plantar fasciitis, and I had to have an x-ray taken, and the x-ray technician said to me, well, obesity does cause this. And I was humiliated that she used the word obesity to me. That was humiliating to me. And I remember being in a church group, and we were visiting some of our Sunday school class ladies, and all of us were trying to get in the same car, and somebody joked, like, I don't think we're all going to fit. And I just, once again, felt humiliated. And when my friend got married, my best friend from 14 years old, when she got married, She took me to pick out a maid of honor dress, and I picked something I wanted. I tried it on in the full-length mirror in the dressing room, and with her there, and I couldn't zip it up, and she said, "Rosie, I think you're more of a full-figured gal," and that was humiliating to me. But none of those humiliating experiences stopped me from overeating because I masked the pain with more overeating. And later on in my life, I got how many college degrees? So many associate's degrees, bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctorate degree, credentialed in teaching healthful living and nutrition. I think that's self-knowledge. I think that's a lot of knowledge, a lot of work. But did it fix my compulsive overeating problem? No, because I suffer from a spiritual malady, not one on this earth. Well, you know what I'm saying. My malady is spiritual. None of the books on this earth are going to teach me, besides the big book, what my problem is and how it is going to be solved, because I have to have a power greater than myself to relieve me of this one day at a time.
Gentle reminder.
Yes, and I'll just wrap up by saying that I'm on a new food plan, and what do you know? I'm following what somebody else is telling me to do, and it's working. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Awesome, Roz. Thank you. Tamara C., you're up next, and then we'll hear from Dolores P.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. This is Tamara C. from Missouri. Very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I was far from admitting that I could do nothing about it myself with the food and with the whole unmanageability of my life. Self-reliance was really, really big for me. I thought that I must run the show. And why? Why did I think that? Because of these ideas that God is not doing a good job. And it's kind of like God is doing a good job with, like, the universe as a whole, but not with me personally. Also, this idea that, or maybe sometimes it was that God just expects me to do it. You know, God helps those who help themselves. So when I get my act together, then God will start helping me. And so there was this great fear deep inside me that I'm not able to do it myself. But I didn't know what to do with that, so I would just tell myself I needed to fight harder. I need more self-discipline, more self-knowledge, more willpower. I've got to figure it out, plan better, execute better. So then I was just in this constant state of resentment because when the food wasn't under control or my life was unmanageable, which was always, I just felt like this is not fair. God is not giving me enough time and resources. People are not cooperating with me. Life is not cooperating with me. So I was just mad at it. Everything and everyone. Unfortunately, working through the steps with a sponsor, I get a new relationship with my Creator. And I have a higher power who is personal to me, who is enough, is taking care of me, accepting me, and guiding me. So I'm free to love and accept myself and others and reality. I'm free to ask for help. I'm free to be curious about what's next without having to figure it all out myself and control the outcome. So, I can do nothing about my disease and my unmanageability by myself, but I can ask for help. I can ask for help from a higher power. I can ask for help from my sponsor. I can follow directions. I can take the next spiritual action. And for me this morning, that was get on a meeting and find my voice and share. So thanks for allowing me to share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Tamara C. Dolores P. is up next, and after we hear from Dolores, we'll take another lineup. On page 39, we're reading the last three lines from the bottom, starting with Fred would not believe himself, and finishing the paragraph through on the next page, ending with self-knowledge would fix it. So, Dolores P., please share with us. Dolores, are you there? Star one to unmute.
I'm sorry, I forgot what I was supposed to push. This is Dolores T. from Arizona. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Dolores.
I'm grateful for sharing. I just have been struggling, and this is big for me. It's really big for me to be speaking. It wasn't big for me in the past, but it is now. I remember when I first came in the program, prior to the program, and even in the program years ago, I would just think, I was like really into self-help books, and I thought I could just find the right book. And I remember, I mean, I had piles and piles of self-books, and I would think, the answer is just, I know if it's just one of these books, it's going to do it for me. And I was so grateful, and I found the big book, because it was so nice that there was only one book that I would find the answer in, and that I have found the answer in. I still struggle. I've been isolating, which is in a level that's not really me at all. And isolating from meetings, isolating from speaking, isolating watching television, which is really bad for me. And it's just really, and I'm eating more as a result. I mean, I haven't lost my abstinence, but I just don't feel good. And I do know this truth in my life. If I ask God for help, He will always help me. God has always helped me. When I first got abstinent, I would spend my time on the floor surrendering. And that was really like this Italian way of surrendering. And I don't know, I still feel myself trying to figure things out. And when I'm trying to figure things out, that's my behind that is the idea that I said I'm going to figure it out and I have self-knowledge. So, and I do that in all my life, and I have to remember that it's not just about this. My life is unmanageable because, and the first part is unmanageable is when I'm trying to figure everything out. So I think that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for being there, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Dolores T. So though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you're interested in sharing on the last five sentences of the paragraph, the second paragraph on page 39, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. Let me know where you're calling from.
Mo H.
Mo H. Claire E, I believe it was.
Yeah,
is
that's
that
right.
Clear?
Thanks.
Oh,
yes,
great.
Thanks.
Anybody else?
Kim T.
Kim T.
Jennifer S. from California.
Jennifer S. California.
I just wanted to say this is my first meeting and introduce myself. I'm just listening. Thank you so much for your service.
Oh, please introduce yourself as a newcomer later on, Gayla. We'd love to welcome you and give you some outreach opportunities.
Okay, it's Jennifer. Jennifer S. is
my
name. Thank
Jennifer.
You.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank
you so much for your service.
Okay, and did I hear Gayla?
Yes, Gayla S. Thank you.
Okay, great. Great. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll hear from Mo H., Claire E., Kim T., and Gayla S. Please share with us, Mo.
Yeah, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, and welcome to the newcomers. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Well, it looks to me like Fred is refusing to take step one. He is skirting around the edges of doing everything but surrendering to step one. And he and I didn't have an eating problem, a drinking problem. I had a thinking problem. And, I thought I could do this many years before OA. It was just the diets. And I was doing a health fair yesterday, and I was sharing with people that, I would go on a diet, and then when the diet was over, well, then what do? Well, you go back to the way you were eating, or I went back to the way I was eating, and of course, I gained my weight back because I was eating a lot of sugary things. And, step one, I have to take that 100%, and Fred was using all kinds of excuses to not take step one, and I, until we got into the vision meeting, what I I never had heard identify in. I don't believe, I'm not going to say never, I don't believe I ever heard identify in, identify with. And I literally identified out. I'm not as bad. I don't have as much weight. I exercise a lot. I can keep it off. You know, and as another speaker shared, I did have humiliating experiences. I tore open the bottom of my pants at a convention and somebody, you know, came up to me and said, do you realize your pants are torn open? And, you know, humiliation to the T, but still I wasn't willing to give up my favorite foods. And so, you know, he tries and then he promises and then he decides, you know, no. So, I still have a lot of growing and learning to do, but being on this meeting has really been a gift to me, all of you, especially after I lost my husband. You know, I kind of went into a deep, dark hole, and, you know, the support in this group, you know, a convention here recently, well, a while before COVID, the theme was Together We Can. And yes, together we can work this program and get help from one another and not have to go into shame and blame and in the hole. So I think that's all I have to say, and I'll pass. Thank you very much, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Mo H. Awesome share. Okay, we've got Claire E. up next, followed by Kim T.
Hi there, it's Claire E. from the UK. Can you hear me? Sorry, I wasn't sure.
You sound great.
Oh, perfect. Lovely. My name's Claire E. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. Brilliant to be on this meeting. Thank you. The time changes mean I'm getting to this meeting a bit more this week, which is really lovely. So, yeah, this paragraph just reminds me. So my first introduction to OA was through a treatment centre when I was 17 years old. And I think that even says itself, you know, in itself that I had a problem. I was in a treatment centre when I was 17. But I remember going in there. And being a little bit scathing, really, the other people around there. They were a lot older than me. And I think I described myself as a potential alcoholic. I might have a problem with this. And, it, you know, that sort of exactly that, conceding a few symptoms, you know, yep, that's definitely me. But I really didn't have any idea, bless me, what I was up against. You know, I really did think that it was a question of learning. I used to even go around with a file and a clipboard to take notes on stuff. And, you know, I thought, you know, I left after 10 weeks feeling absolutely great, brilliant, lovely, sorted, done. You know, within a week I was binging again. And, you know, there was absolutely, I said, you know, it's taken me another 30 years essentially of bashing, or 25 years of bashing from this illness, you know, to get to the point that I was 5 years ago, where I was sitting cross-legged on the floor of my mother's house. She was away, eating from bags of food and crying and eating at the same time, and just going, I just can't do this anymore. Please, please, something help me. And that was, you know, that was admitting, you know, that at the age of 18, I was a long way from admitting. At that point, I knew there was nothing left. It was, I couldn't imagine my life with food or without it. And I knew I had nothing left in the tank. I had nothing that I could offer. And ditto, you know, humiliating experiences and knowledge, even in recovery, you know. And I've had breaks in abstinence, which have been humiliating. I've had to phone people. I've had to fess up. I've had to be honest with people. And I've got a lot of knowledge now. I mean, you know, I've read the book a few times, you know, I've been around the fellowships for many years now. I can speak the lingo. I can talk the talk. But, you know, that knowledge, it doesn't, you know, it's information. And what I need is to do what's in this book, not just to read this book. It's to do what's in this book. I need a transformation, not information. That's what makes the difference to my life. And that's what brings me closer to my higher power, is working the steps, is actually doing what is suggested, you know, is weighing and measuring my food. For me, that's my experience of my abstinence. You know, it is making the calls. It's putting my name out there. It's working with other people. It's making amends when I'm wrong, even when I don't want to. It's taking actions, you know, and very much in, you know, in conjunction with my higher power, because I couldn't do any of that stuff without my higher power helping me. So self-knowledge, useful, interesting, very nice to know about these things, love the history, etc., etc. But unfortunately for me, that didn't work, and I need to actually put into practice what I've learned in the book and in the fellowship and in the experience of others that have gone before me. And you know, when I do that, I can live happy, joyous, and free. Food is neutral. and I have a good life. I have a really good life. And welcome to any newcomers. This is a very equal opportunities illness and an equal opportunities recovery. And I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Claire E. Kim T, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Gayla S.
Hi, good morning. This is Kim T, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Thank you very much. Thank you for your service this morning and for everyone who has shared, because I am everyone. I mean, that's what I feel like this morning, just listening to everybody. And as someone, a couple people talked about humiliation and just brought to mind a couple of memories, which I hadn't thought about in a long time. And the first one I'll mention is when I was young and Mama Cass was a thing and Cher was a thing. For those of you who get the references, I would put on, I made a poster on my wall and I put celery plus lettuce equals Cher, a picture of Cher. And then, you know, cheesecake plus fat chicken wings equals Mama Cass. And then another thing, time I was at, I was about 15 years old, and my friend and I were at a bar, which we shouldn't have been, but anyway, we were dancing with these two older guys, and all of a sudden, I started to feel this sensation, which I didn't like at all, and it was my zipper breaking as we were dancing, and so it was a nylon zipper, and ever since that day, I've avoided nylon zippers, and it was just splitting open because my pants were so tight, and I was gaining so much weight so quickly. That was mortifying, humiliating, and all of the above. And then the last big humiliation was, well, I'm sure there's more if I ever go back to the food, God willing, I won't. But the last one I remember was my boyfriend, we were living together and then we split up for a while. Anyway, I was, we hadn't seen each other for about 6 months or so. I got off an airplane, I flew to his home and I stepped off the plane and he just looked at me with a look of utter disgust. So none of those kept me sober, food sober. Every single one of them, what they did in my brain was my best idea was after every single humiliation was go get more food, go get some peanut M&Ms, go get some Ho-Hos, go get, you know, that was my best thinking, to stuff down the pain and not think about what just happened. So I am so grateful I don't have to live like that today, and I can be recovered, and I can have I can just be sane around food of any type. And I can if I'm not, I can remove myself from the situation and make a call, pray. There's so many ways out of this disease, but the biggest way that many people have said this morning is a connection with my higher power. So thank you for that, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Kim T. Gayla F., you're up next, and then we'll take a couple more shares on the last five sentences of the second paragraph on page 39. We're beginning with Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic through the end of the paragraph. Self-knowledge would fix it. Please share with us, Gayla.
Thank you. This is Gayla S., and I live in Los Angeles, California. I'm very, very grateful for all of you, those who have been of service this morning and regularly are of service as well, so many, and this reading and this meeting. I lived in the spin cycle. I picture the spin cycle with a washing machine, and sometimes it's overloaded, and sometimes I was overloaded, not only with food and junk food, but overloaded with stress, overloaded with depression, overloaded with so many things. And when I was overloaded, it's like the spin cycle when it starts to shake the whole machine. And I was so depressed, so despondent. It just kept going round and round, like so many have expressed in meetings. I'd go to bed with resolve and wake up with zero resolve and not understanding why. There's a cute Norman Rockwell painting of a very overweight chef in his white uniform and white hat. I believe he's got his hat on, and he's sitting there with a diet book in his hand. And that was me. I had all the books, as has been mentioned, and I read many of them, not all of them, but they called out to me and they were my solution. And none of this worked. I'd stand at the island every day around 3 o'clock when the kids were coming home from school eating. So at this point, I'm on a path. I'm on a clearly paved path, and I have a hard copy of the solution. And I have the solution that I listen to in meetings. I have the solution in recordings of the Big Book, and I'm so grateful for a vision for you, and I'm so grateful for the support that is out there, because now I am totally and hopefully will not move away from the solution but stay on that paved path. And with that, I'll close. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Gail S. So we have time for two more shares. Possibly three if we have a short share in there. If you'd like to comment on page 39, we're starting with the third sentence up, Fred would not, and finishing that whole paragraph on page 40. Please press star 1 to unmute and let us know your thoughts on this.
Lorraine W.
Lorraine W. Anyone else? We have room for one more, possibly
Christina
two.
M.
Christina M. Okay, let's listen to Lorraine W. and Christina M. and see where we are from there. Please share with us, Lorraine.
Hi, everyone. This is Lorraine W. from Massachusetts. I really appreciate all the shares I have heard this morning. I am presently disabled in a wheelchair due to an auto accident, and have been since September 27th, and been able to listen to visions most days live, where before I had to listen because of work, you know, after work or in the evening. And today, it's such a blessing to read this paragraph and listen to all the shares, because I, too, am a nurse, and thought I had the self-knowledge. Of course I did. I had courses in nutrition and dietary needs and what is healthy and what isn't healthy. And I worked pediatrics for quite a long time and taught the children what was healthy. But what I could teach and what I had for self-knowledge did not give me the solution to this disease. As I shared with many people in the past, I've been in OA for 30 years, many people in the past, you know, I know what's healthy to eat, but I just like to eat. I just like to eat, but it was all the wrong things, especially towards the end in 1992 when I came into program. Prior to that, all I wanted to eat was the sugar and flour and just couldn't stop. Just couldn't stop. I had this disease choking me. And now, since being in program, I have learned that exercise is wonderful. Eating healthy is wonderful. Giving up that sugar and eventually most flour products, I have given up to God, surrendered it to God, and God has allowed me to stay on this earth for 75 years and being who I am today. He saved me from this accident but left me quite disabled, but it's only for now. I will get better and be able to exercise again, but it's a very challenging time in my life. And I had to hear certain things today that I was relentless in going back to some of those behaviors. And I can't go back to those behaviors of watching too much TV, of being too sedentary, but not filling the mind with what I needed to fill. So thank you again so much for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Serene W. I hope your recovery is very quick. Okay, Christina A., you're up next, and you will be our last share today.
Thank you so much, Elaine. My name is Christina M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And so grateful to be on this meeting today, and thank you everyone for your service, and welcome to all the newcomers. And I don't know that I'm going to share anything especially enlightening. I just got so much from the shares, especially the opening share about Fred, and I just, my identifying in, like so many people said, for years, I just identified out when I read these stories. I identified out with the jaywalker, I identified out with Fred, and today I just identify in. I see myself all over the place, where it says, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. And, I was in and out of the rooms of OA for 14 years before I really believed myself to be an alcoholic with food and could accept a spiritual remedy. I just, I did not understand what I was up against, that I was never going to beat this disease on my own. First of all, I couldn't understand that I had a disease. And to me, this is all talking about step one. I've heard it said that, the whole point of step one is to convince me that my problem is worse than I think it is. And that was a huge issue for me. Like, I just thought, if I can just figure out, arrange the pieces in a certain way, address all these other issues, read another self-help book, I can figure out this, I can solve this problem with food. And like it was said in the opening share, I thought, even after I had come into OA, I thought that OA was going to teach me how to be a normal eater and release me back into the world. And that is just not the case. I will never be a normal eater. And today I'm totally okay with that, but I was not okay with that for a very long time. And I also couldn't make the connection between the conditions of my life, the unmanageability of my life, the depression that I was experiencing. I couldn't make the connection between that and my eating, and that by continuing to look for solutions elsewhere, and never addressing my real issue with food, I just kind of kept getting the same results. So, I thought self-knowledge would fix it. I had, I read every self-help book, that I could get my hands on. In fact, I think I remember even, going to like a Barnes and Noble and finding a book about, food addiction, and it was called The Solution, and thinking like, okay, yeah, this is it, this is my solution. And I would skim those books once and think like, okay, that's it, that's all I have to do is just read this book once and this is going to fix my problem. And it turns out, I don't need any of those books. I just need, thank you so much, I just need this one book that I read over and over again. So thank you so much, and I'll pass with that.
Elaine, are you there? Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was talking away. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., thank you very much. Will you please read a vision for you for us?
Hi, it's Eileen M., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Wonderful. Thank you very, very much.